Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening, and we do welcome you back to the program. Good evening, Chris.
How you doing?
Fantastic. Fantastic. And good evening, Mr. Cox.
Good evening, Richard and Chris. Blessings to you all.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Chris, as normal, we'll turn it over to you, and I'll be here. If we get the callers in, I'll sure let you know.
Great. Elder Cox, if you don't object, I'd like to start off with scriptures. Does that bother you in any way?
Go ahead.
Luke 10:18. Well, let's start with Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. And one of my favorite commentaries is Clark's commentary, and his comments on Luke 10:18 is, I beheld Satan, or Satan himself, the very Satan, the supreme adversary, falling as lightning with the utmost suddenness, as a flash of lightning falls from the clouds, and at the same time in the most observable manner. His fall was both very sudden and very apparent. I think that whatever happened in that moment when he sent those 70 out and they realized they could walk in that authority, and it took Satan by surprise, threw him down as lightning, and the wonderful part, I believe, is we still have that same authority. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing scripture to get hold of, that little us and in the name of Jesus have all power over the enemy and deal with the demonic and blow those things away. It's an amazing area to get hold of. I was age 44 before I ever got introduced to it. Even though I was born again when I was 13, I never heard about this works of Jesus and what it would do to help people with their problems. So I just praise God somebody shared it with me, because I could have missed it. I could have missed hearing about it very easily, and many Christians have never heard about it. So that's why we're on the radio tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, well, where we had heard about it was through television or movies where they took the simple word of the Lord and they created these characters and these demonic battles and these priests and these people, you know, fighting with Satan. When I like what you say is, all you got to do is pull your gun and shoot.
Yes, with, and the good news being we have all power, not just 50% or 75%, but all power to deal with these things.
Yeah, is that scripture still there?
It was...
Go ahead.
Were you turning it over to Richard? Did I hear?
No. You go ahead.
Well, anyway, that's how I got started in this because, of course, each of us has our share of problems, but an amazing area to get hold of that many problems that we have going in our lives, to find out they actually are spiritual. And, of course, if we can find out any of our problems have a spiritual base to them, praise God, we have the power, as we just heard, all power to deal with these. But some of the problems that people have, I have the problem list in front of me. I'm sure some of the listeners know some people that might have some of these problems. How about anger, rage, or violence? How about depression? All kinds of fear and panic attacks and fear of this and fear of that. About feelings of guilt they can't shake, feelings of unworthiness. How about depression and anxiety and stress? Yes, even stress can have an evil spirit behind it. Extremely common. We run into it in really every case that we do. And we've been doing this a long time now. I've been at it 38 years and we've done our Monday night meetings 32 years now, and usually around a dozen or 15 people each Monday evening with a trained minister with each person. We had, 18 cases this last Monday and had a minister for each person. A beautiful evening. We started at 5:30. We rent a church, so we have more room. We spread around the church when it's time for ministry. And we got to see... minister with each person, and then finished up most people around 10:30 or so. I finished up about 11. I had a case, a young man, 28 years old, that had a pill problem. Now, have we ever heard of that kind of a problem? Drugs, cocaine, pot, and it had ruined his life thus far. He lost his marriage out of that, and he'd been to various kinds of treatment. He was, in fact, on drugs. He was on medication for the drug problem. and frankly, he looked like he was kind of zombied out when he initially sat down with me. And as we went through the evening, oh my gosh, I got into the casting out of demons. We do a number of things first, breaking ungodly soul ties, healing of emotional wounds of the past. And when I was finally into the deliverance part of working his problem list, he started coughing violently to the point I had to grab a bucket. That's very rare in our ministry, but it does occasionally happen. That's why we keep some buckets around and with plastic liners. And he unloaded a good 3 dozen, probably more. I wasn't keeping count of them, but I mean, he coughed them out hard, bent over with a mucus, kind of a cotton ball stuff coming out. Well, there's no way he would not be better. And he was. He felt wonderful at the end of the evening. I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. I usually follow up in a few days or a week to see how they're doing, but I'd say we scored again in Jesus' name in helping this young man get free and see his life turned around. And he had an anger problem that was inherited through his dad. His dad had, he remembered as a kid, his dad actually using his fist and going through the wall. And he had done that with in his marriage, and with this anger, rage, violence, demons manifesting, and that was some of what he coughed out. So I'm excited to hear the report. That's the fun part of this, is hearing the testimonies of what Jesus does in our lives and setting us free.
Well, one of the scriptures that come to mind was when the disciples had brought to Jesus a child that they could not deliver, and Jesus asked the Father, how long has this demon, how long has this ailment been upon your son? And the word that he used, I forget the Greek word for it, but it meant from an infant, from a very small child.
Yes. Yes. And, of course, we run into, it would be an extremely rare person that doesn't have some generational demonic activity. You know, when you go to a doctor's office, how they will want to know your background and the problems of infirmities even. Well, we find generational infirmity spirits constantly. And so it's not fair that these things would come through at birth on us, but due to the sins and iniquities of our forefathers, there are doors that are open. And most people, it be an extremely rare person, and I'm not sure there is one shy of Jesus that hasn't had their demonic activity, even generational activity, coming down the lines, and they're born with it. But the good news is, again, we have that all power in Jesus' name. If we use it, we speak directly to the problems and see people set free.
Now, it seems that the more I pursue this and the more I look into it, and I don't really need to look into it as if I'm searching it out to find if it's true. I know that it's true. But I run into more and more naysayers, or more people that just kind of shake their head or that are leery of it. How do you as a ministry address that?
Well, a person, we have plenty of people that get tormented to the point that they've tried everything else. They've been to doctors, they've been to psychiatrists, they've been to Mayo's Clinic, they've been all these places, and they finally, someone mentions that it might be a spiritual problem and to call Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. And sure enough, they come and they get set free. But yes, there's plenty of people that don't believe in this. Well, that's their problem. But what's sad is most Christians are in America are too sophisticated, I guess, to realize it. But I've ministered in Haiti twice, and of course down there, there's all kinds of demonic activity, a lot of voodoo, but what amazed me was I seem to flush up fewer demons than I do here in America. And I asked pastors about that. Some of them had been up here in the U.S., and they said, well, as we see it, the reason is that down here in Haiti, everybody knows about demons. They grew up around voodoo. They know all about demonic powers, but up in the U.S., they don't know anything about demons. So demons have a free run at it, that made sense to me finally, because in ministering all around, and I spoke at 56 of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Banquets through the 80s, and I would always have an altar call for deliverance and all, and as well as the salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I would flush up demons in the prayer lines, and down there in Haiti, I didn't seem to flush them up like that. And so, isn't that sad that we somehow here don't understand that the demonic is alive and well, unfortunately, but it is, and tormenting people all around us.
Well, the worst kind of enemy is the one that you don't know exists or you don't believe exists that is attacking.
Yes.
And then that scripture, stiff-necked Israelite, comes to mind.
Yeah.
Well, our caller's on the line. Cheryl, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Oh.
Hello, welcome.
Oh, hi, Cheryl. Yeah, welcome.
Hi there, Everett.
I'm here with Chris. Hi, Cheryl, and thank you for calling in. We've been discussing this subject, deliverance, which we've been known to talk about. And I'm glad you came on to kind of share what you've seen in this, and maybe what experience you've had personally with deliverance, the casting out of evil spirits. So could you kind of give a little testimony?
Well, sure. Thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm just happy that you're doing the show, and thank you so much for all your work, Everett.
Well, it's high adventure, as I'm always saying, and very fulfilling as we see people's lives turned around.
Exactly. Yeah, that's definitely happening in my home. I started learning about deliverance for the first time in November and of this past year, and I was really surprised that I had never heard about it before. I had a few friends who shared little things here and there about contending with spirits. And I'm the kind of person, I like to have a top-down explanation, you know, what are we dealing with, where are the scriptural references, how do we do it, and what are we doing exactly? So I got all that and more when I came to Deliverance Ministries. I had read a couple of books and then came through and went through Deliverance myself, and then the next week brought my 14-year-old son back, and we have just slowly watched our whole house turn around, our entire household, our other children, my husband. It's been quite amazing.
Praise God. That's a great testimony.
Amen.
Well, when you were ministered to Cheryl, did you feel anything going on? How do you know you were underloading some spirits?
I did. It was amazing to me. I really felt things moving inside my body, and I usually, when I have just kind of an emotional release or deliverance kind of release, I yawn quite a lot during various kinds of healing. So I just yawned my head off, and the ministers are so sweet and kind to just wait and let you just yawn it out. So it was very new for me, but there was just a lot going on. I had a time where my hearing opened up on the left side of my head. My left ear just didn't really work very well, so having my hearing change was really a great surprise. And then it was interesting, Everett, both my son and I, when we came on two separate weeks, we each had the same experience. He came home after his session and told his dad that, he said, you know the little voice you have in your head that's kind of all the time saying things and you're keeping track of life by listening to this voice? He said, that's gone quiet. And I said, you know, I had the same experience where I just don't have this kind of running to-do list in my mind. I feel peaceful. And he and I both also had a lot of peace in our body physically as well. So it was really super.
One of the games, Cheryl, that demons play at the deceiver, and it's a demon of lies, and it has the ability to somehow speak into our heads where we tend to think it's our own thoughts a lot of times. Some people actually hear voices, but there are lies that the enemy is pushing upon us that are negative, and the enemy is hoping that we'll buy those as the truth. It would be lies kind of like, nobody loves you, you'll never amount to anything, you can't do this or that. It's negative kind of stuff, and if as people hear those over and over, some people start accepting it as a truth and then follow whatever it's saying. I remember one case where I actually had the head demon up when in the ministry, and this demon disclosed one of the lies that was speaking to her, and it said, it was saying to her, I am the Holy Spirit, now if you love me, cut your arm.
Oh, my.
And she was cutting her arm. And I said to her later, I said, where was your common sense?
No.
Do you think that sounds like our Jesus?
You know? Well, now, Cheryl, one of the things, so let me ask you about this. That voice also can torment you with truth by just being that recording over and over. You didn't do this. You didn't go there. Or you've got to do this, and just always keeping you off balance from focusing on what's
exactly
right in front of you.
Exactly right, and that leads to doubt, that leads to struggle and guilt and remorse and all those things. So having those voices silenced is huge. You come away with just a great deal of headspace that you really didn't know was possible, and that just allows for all kinds of other healing, emotional and physical as well.
I like that headspace. So now the Holy Spirit can move in.
Exactly. I know. I was
headspace
really
for rent.
Glad. Exactly. I know, right? You just evict the bad guys. I was so pleased to know. I mean, it sounds odd, but I was really pleased to know that there is an entity that can block your study and your absorption of the word. You know, I thought it was normal to go through really dry spells and spiritual droughts. But I think it's common for many people to just come home and start consuming the word like they never had before. And, you know, now I'll just have a prayer language just flow out of me, which is just such a gift. And it's really neat because I can sometimes understand what the language is saying, so I have a different understanding of this prayer language. And so I really think it leaves a lot of room for the other gifts of the Spirit to become activated in people when that headspace is open.
Amen. Praise God. That's awesome, Cheryl. And I've actually had interpretations myself when I speak out in tongues, you know, by myself, and then I'd have an interpretation of what I said, you know.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
It edifies yourself. You're praying to God what needs to be prayed, 1 Corinthians 14. And that edification is a great tool in our walk where it's like charging a battery. In fact, I prayed in the Spirit before I came on the show here just now. And it's awesome to have that in our Christian walk.
Well, Cheryl, you mentioned changes. You mentioned changes in your household. Would you share with our listeners what has happened? Because I'm sure a lot of the households out there could use some changes.
Absolutely. You know, I've been thinking about that question throughout the day and trying to imagine how to be respectful of the rest of my family. But you know, of course, they've heard. I tell my you know, all the rest of my family, my other children, and my husband what we've been through. And, you know, if nothing else, we've just been a huge example for them. My oldest son is kind of in process right now. He needs deliverance so much. He needs it more than anyone else. And I was just absolutely stunned earlier today that he came downstairs and started a conversation with me about strange things happening in the house. None of the other family has seen things going on. But he has been so confused or impacted or just kind of freaked out that he wanted to come and talk about angels and demons to me today. And I almost fell out of my chair. I almost fell out because it was amazing. His
great
dad and I had just had the talk between he and I. Look, this boy needs deliverance. We've got to get him delivered. And then he came and opened the conversation himself. It's really been absolutely wild.
Sounds like you may have been praying for him at a distance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, Everett has so many tools on Delman.org, and I've been devouring them, really. And it's also really been phenomenal outside of my house. After I went through my first deliverance session, the Lord led me to minister to a homeless man. And I told him I'd love to pray for him, and he said, absolutely, you can pray for me, but you have to pray to the devil. And I said, well, we're going to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just went on and continued to pray, and he said, well, I don't like to pray when I'm high. And I said, well, that's okay. And, you know, he's asking me for drugs in the meantime and telling me he loves Buddha and all these different things. And then he put his hand on the top of his head, and he said, can you do this when you pray for me? And I said, absolutely. And then a few minutes later, he said, can you pray for me in tongues? And when we finished, I got the best hug of my life. I'll never forget how beautiful it was. I was sailing for the rest of the week, just so blissfully happy. So he went literally from saying, pray to the devil, to pray in tongues. And I'll tell you what, that hug was, there'll never be another one like it. So I told Everett that story, and he said, just be ready. You have no idea what's coming. And he was right. He was right.
And, of course, that was a taste, Cheryl, of how we're all on highs and being so fulfilled that God would use little us to minister to someone. We're all on highs afterwards, and that's what you experienced.
Yes. Yes, and it's really been valuable. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you're now moving into studying to become a team leader at Deliverance Ministry, so that'll really have a lot of fulfillment for you.
Well, exactly right. I was just going to mention that it's been a real gift. You know, part of my spiritual drought that I mentioned before, for many years I've been wondering about the gifts of the Spirit and looking for ways to learn more, people to teach me more. And as part of going into learning how to minister, people have been helping me identify the gifts of the Spirit in myself. And so when those gifts come out during ministry for other people, I get to really understand what it is, you know, what it's called, and then see it in action, which has been just a tremendous gift as well.
Well, in praying, you know, one of the gifts is discernment. And you praying for that homeless man, you do not know what set of dominoes you put in effect. He may be able to change the country from that one moment when you stopped and prayed for him, just like Hannah praying and having Samuel. You don't know how the Lord can use something like that. And, you know, your willingness to hear the Holy Spirit, to take a homeless man who probably wasn't the cleanest creature you've been around, and to let the Lord lead you in praying for him.
Right, exactly. I never thought I could enjoy. I mean, this man literally had bugs crawling on him. But I'll tell you what, I understand what you're saying, and it's just part of the profundity of the Lord that we all do have a part to play, and He does have a grand design, and our job is just to obey. And we get to live in bliss as a result. Really, you know, like that's a pretty good deal.
Yes. Well, Cheryl, are you comfortable in sharing some of the things that you were delivered from?
Well, sure. You know, I still feel a little bit sheepish, Everett, but I am. I think it's important to share. I mentioned that I was trying to understand the gifts of the Spirit for quite some time. My youngest daughter has the gift of prophecy, and ever since She had a prophetic vision that came to pass, I've really been wondering, you know, what is this? What is this part of our family legacy that nobody's really taught me about? And in my search for answers, I found that there were people providing information about what this energy was that later I would learn are involved in New Age occult things. So, you know, I kind of found myself being more and more swayed by New Agers and more frustrated by, you know, the lack of knowledge in the church. I went to a Spirit-filled church and, you know, was there for quite some time and prayed with them every week. And just when the conversation got to some really good supernatural things, it was cut off and we went back to praying. So I really did get involved in the occult. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I got off into listening to these New Age people, and so that was a lot of what I was delivered from, and it was just really phenomenal to see the results in my house. We did do quite a little bit of house cleaning. I had some things in my home that didn't need to be here. Some of them were surprises. When I got to the point where I prayed for God to reveal what needed to come out, I actually had a wooden door that was an art piece that my husband bought for me that had fertility symbols on it. And he was born in Africa. He's a Lebanese Christian who was an American citizen many years ago. And he bought this for my work with new moms. And I know how much voodoo there is in Africa because my husband was born there. So that was just one example of a kind of a surprise that God said that door needs to go. so I've just got a big blank spot on the wall. I'm waiting for something else to come and fill that. But it was really remarkable to come through and see all the things. And the things that he directed me to that were really a surprise, I thought, you know, if there's anything else, Lord, let me know. And in one day, I was literally just kind of leaning over a desk that's in my house. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a lottery ticket that I had just forgotten about years ago. And he just convicted my heart that stop doing that, stop playing the lottery, and that lottery ticket is maybe some kind of a slippery slope. And so there were small things like that. There were larger things that I got rid of. I had books that were absolutely kind of books about witchcraft that I just thought were innocent novels, you know, some best-selling novels. I thought they were great, and I bought copies for my children. So, you know, I found it's really important not to do guilt and not to feel badly about being deceived. But one thing that's been really amazing is people really have been coming out of the woodwork and talking to me about their experiences and their need for deliverance or their involvements with secret societies. So it's pretty neat that there's a great network of people around me, for example, who have children who can see both angels and demons. So being able to speak into those situations has been really a high point.
Okay, Cheryl, two things. You know, let me read you Acts 2:17. And it shall be in the last days, saith God, I will pour forth my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So I just wanted to read that about the scripture, about you saying your daughter had the gift of prophecy. But also, right. From your experience, would you say that a lot of people go after the New Age or after the occult because they know that there's a power and they're not experiencing that power within the church?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is such a need. I mean, that's exactly what happened with me. I know I'm not the only one, but I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I knew that there was some kind of power, and I didn't know what to call it. And now that I know what to call it, I'm able to see so clearly what people's needs are. So in my line of work, I'm surrounded by people who also know, and about half are dabbling in the New Age, and, you know, and about half are just Bible-loving Christians. So it's just amazing. I never really thought about it until right now, but God has just positioned me in this really profound time of life and situation that I can now see clearly.
Praise God.
Yep.
That's exciting, Cheryl.
It is. And so just, I don't know, I'm sure people tell you all the time that they could never thank you, but I just really appreciate and admire the work you've done and your obedience to build what you have.
Right, well, and I'm still thanking the people that shared with me, you know, how's a man to know unless someone tells him, and I could have missed learning about it very easily, and that scares me to think about it, you know.
Right.
It's been 38 years of excitement.
Absolutely.
Well, Cheryl, we thank you for being on the program. You be blessed. Take care of those children. And looking forward to hearing from you again sometime.
Very good. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
God bless you, Cheryl.
God bless you as well, Everett.
Okay, Mr. Cox, on... She talked about the gifts, and, you know, we spoke about discernment and the gift of prophecy. Tell us your experience with the gifts over the years and how being set free from the demonic has enabled people to walk in the gifts that the Lord's given them.
Well, yes. Often, after getting deliverance, that surfaces because the demons... one of their missions, of course, is to block a Christian's life. They don't want Christians, for obvious reasons, to use their God-given gifts. They want to block a Christian's destiny, the use of those gifts, as I mentioned, and also block abundance. They are there, as Jesus said, to John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. And Christians are the targets. a lot of people still have thought that somehow we're immune as Christians. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Even 38 years ago, when I initially got into deliverance, it was obvious that Christians had these problems because, as I've said in on other ministry, everybody that was coming was already a born-again Christian, you know, and yet we're flushing these demons up and on occasion even talking out of their mouths. So it was quite clear that was the situation, that Christians are the targets, not that we can be possessed in our spirit man, but we can be tormented in the body area and also the soul area, the mind, will, emotions, and that's what they're doing. Our spirit as a Christian is totally secure, and if the body dies, your spirit will go to be with the Lord.
Well, there's a scripture where it talks about where Jesus says not to be envious of the wicked. And my wife and I were just recently talking about how a lot of people that we know that aren't serving the Lord seem to have far less battles, far less struggles, far less issues in their life than we do who strive every day to serve the Lord.
Yes. Yeah. That's
and I
true.
Think the reason is that they're not a target. Satan doesn't need to look at them. They're not an enemy of his.
Exactly. Yeah, when you become a born-again Christian, you get a bullseye on your back. But the good news is, again, as you read when we first opened, that we have all power over the enemy, Luke 10:19, if we use it. We use it constantly. I quote Luke 10:19 in every ministry session that I do, and of course I teach it before we even do ministry. When the people first come, before I sign a minister, I do a teaching on this, and I emphasize Luke 10:19 big time, and have the people promise that they will memorize Luke 10:19 and say it a lot. Maybe even after they wash their teeth every morning, then remember to now quote Luke 10:19 out loud, because it does go forth to accomplish that for which it is sent as a Christian speaks it. So it is pounding the enemy. I've had demons manifesting take the person's hands up over their ears and not wanting to hear what's being said. Well, I'm quoting Luke 10:19. So it's quite clear the demons do not want to hear it. And of course, if we know there's a scripture that they don't want to hear any of the scriptures, but if there's a particular scripture that really rattles their cage, then it's probably a good idea that we learn that and say it a lot. So I've been saying that out loud for a long time now.
I'd like to remind people, if they'd like to call in, it's 307-745-5913. You can go to the ministry website at deliveranceusa.com and find out a lot of these tools that we've been talking about and find out more about the ministry in Oklahoma City. And also on the right-hand side of that page, there's a thing called Donate. And I'd love to see you support this ministry. If there's one group of people I know out there that's actually serving the Lord and taking care of His people, this ministry is it. And I just found out we have a caller on the line.
Hello. How you doing?
Richard? Oh, it's Ralph. Do we want to talk to Ralph?
Well, sure, if he's there. Chris, I had a text from, I had another lady lined up to call in. She texted me while we're on here saying that she couldn't get the phone number to work, so I don't know what the deal is on that. It's been working all evening, I know. I'm listening to the show earlier before we came on.
Okay.
So, yeah, Ralph, how are you?
I'm fine, Everett. How about yourself?
Good. You were
Can you guys hear
me up there?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that was better.
Hello?
Yeah.
We're listening to you, Ralph. Go ahead.
Okay. Everett, we had on the our prayer chain that goes out today, there was a prayer request. And I thought this would be an opportunity to really to bring up, because it sounds like someone could really use deliverance in this request. It comes from a Jerry, and it came via the email, and it said, prayer request, become strong with Christ and stay away from pornography and drugs. I've seen demons, and I feel I was visited by God or an angel warning me of my ways. I am 4 days with none of the above, and I feel strong. I made a promise to God and need to be a godly man for my family. Please, please pray for me. And when I saw that, I immediately thought of what we have been trying to reach out with people with deliverance. And I can't think of a request that I've seen in a while that someone would need deliverance more so. And I was just kind of thinking, put that up there. And maybe, Everett, how would you minister this man if he'd sent that request to you?
Well, of course, as you know, we spend quite a few hours with people. That's everything you mentioned there is extremely common at Deliverance Ministries. We see that every Monday night. And while deliverance can be quick, it does happen. Most of the time, people are a little more complicated than just casting out the spirits. They've got doors open that needs to be closed. There's a lot of repenting involved that the person needs to do. There's 15 doors, you know, that we've recognized that demons can come through. So I take them through a 15-minute repeat after me door closing prayer. By the way, that's on our website under self-ministry, and people can do it. But it's you've got to get the doors closed, and then there's usually some ungodly soul ties that need to be broken that may be a factor in these problems. And, of course, as you know, Ralph, most people don't just have several spirits. They've got a good 36 plus. So
yes.
It takes a while, some hours, but nevertheless, let's pray for him. Would you like for me to pray for him? Because if by chance those were all there by a satanic assignment, we can cast demons of assignment out at any time, anywhere. So would you like for me to do that?
I would say that would certainly pray for the man.
Absolutely.
That, I was just one of the things that I was thinking is, and I thought they did a good prayer on the prayer chain, the site on the hour earlier to strengthen the man, but it just felt to me that maybe his root problems were not being dealt with.
Yeah, most people have got them. Like I say, we spend on Monday night with the teaching a good 5 hours with most people, getting them to that goal line. You know, to people have spent a lifetime. And certainly many years of getting themselves to this point of agony, you know, where they're reaching out finally. But they're kind of complicated, most people are, and you've got to unwind all that, but you can. And the steps that we've learned to use over these years work very effectively. It just takes some hours to do it, you know. I'd like to just snap my fingers and it's done, but it can happen that way. But most people are just more involved. We could go ahead and break any satanic assignments. You said it was Jerry?
Yes, it was Jerry.
Okay. Well, let's just do that with us in agreement here on the show. We just lift up Jerry to you, Lord. We thank you again that you've given us all power in your name. And so right now, knowing that Jerry is in agreement with us, we take authority over and break off any satanic assignments having to do with pornography or with the drugs or demons on assignments to torment and harass either around him or even physically. So right now, with all power,
amen,
we cancel those assignments in Jesus' name. Terminate.
Amen.
And now I
amen.
Command all demons of the assignments to go. Pornography, drugs, and tormenting, harassing spirits, spiritually or physically, we command you to go right now. In Jesus' name, go. Go. By the blood of Jesus, go. We have all power over you demons. Your assignments are canceled. Now, demons of assignments with Jerry, in Jesus' name, with all of us in agreement, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go.
Go.
Go. Amen. Amen.
And Father, I pray that you put him upon a path of total and complete deliverance, of protection, that you guide him that he might be set free from these tormenting spirits in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, Ralph, we've got another caller on the line, so let me take care of Emma, and thank you for calling
All right.
brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hello, Emma, are you there? Hello?
Well, we had...
Hi, Emma. Richard.
Yes.
Yes, hi, Richard. Hello?
Hello there.
Yes, Emma, can you hear can you hear Chris?
Yes.
Okay, go right ahead.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I'm sorry, I was calling to listen on the phone, like I did the last time.
Oh.
And instead I called the direct number and got Richard.
Yes, instead. You did, and I'm here. I can give you that number if you'd like. I've got it here somewhere.
I have the number. I can hang up and call back.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's all right. The 832 number. That'll be fine. Thanks, Emma.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, Richard, go ahead and give that number out for people so that they know that they can listen via a phone line.
Yeah, if you want to call, you can call. The number is 832-999-1792. And that's if you want to listen on your phone. I use that sometimes on the different programs. If you just can't get it on the internet, I do that through my phone, or if the shortwave is kind of scratchy. But 832-999-1792, and you can listen in live to this program and the other programs.
Well, Mr. Cox, when Jesus dealt with a demoniac and he cast the demons into the swine, they said that we are legion. Have you run into any people that have just been that demonically tormented?
Oh, yes. In fact, I had a man last week. They'd just come out of an institution, and I was able to get the head demon up, which, by the way, was schizophrenia. And as I interrogated that demon, this was a one-on-one with the demon. It manifested fully. The facial features, the eyes were glaring. And as I interrogated this demon as to the demons under his authority, there were different department heads of demons. Some of them had actually legions in those groups. Well, no big deal. We have all power over the enemy. The main thing I'm after when I've got a hit demon up and interrogating it, I want to make sure we've not missed in getting any doors closed, that is, any legal rights canceled for the demons to be in that person. And also, I want to make sure all satanic assignments are canceled with any demons that are under the authority of the head demon. And I ultimately got that all done. And I had it disclose the top 10 lies that was speaking into his head, just as we were talking earlier about the lie program. Well, I wrote them down for this young man and went over them later with him. The demon, of course, admitted they were lies and the opposite of the truth. So later, I reversed those. He could hear the demon talking through him, so he heard it say they were the opposite of the truth. That'll make a guy feel better right there. And I went through those lies, reversing them with him later. Anyway, blew all that stuff out finally, and Jesus set him free.
Well, how long had he been tormented with this schizophrenic spirit and the other spirits?
When I interrogated schizophrenia, it said it came into him at the age of 10 through Pokemon and through Harry Potter. And then it said some of the other demons under his authority came in through all kinds of games. Some of them I'd never heard of. There was a number of Japanese games and that had satanic involvement. He named them, the demon named them all off. I wrote them down for him, and so I put the demon on standby when I got those written down and called the man back up, and I had him then repent of those involvements and renounce them, those games and all, and books. And then I called the head demon back up, and they came up with the facial features and the voice different and stuff, and I confirmed with the head demon that those were now broken, those legal rights, those doors were closed that the demons had. You know, demons tend to lie, so you have to pin them down constantly when they tell you something by saying, will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit? And the demon will say yes or no to that. And if I catch it lying, then I have the angels, which you can see around us, come in and jab a few times with their swords, and that'll usually straighten them up. It's very intimidating to the demons to look around and see numerous warring angels circled around us in the ministry session, because we always ask the angels to circle around us and pull their swords, and they are. Pretty awesome, isn't it, that God's angels are on our side, and we can call on them directly, according to Hebrews 1:14, where the angels are to be of service to the heirs of salvation. That's us. And being a joint heir with Jesus, we can call on them directly. I thought years ago, you know, we had to go through the Godhead, Father, in Jesus' name, would you send angels to do this or that? Well, come to find out, we can call on them directly.
And Hebrews 1:13 says, but of which the angels have said at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?
That's us.
Amen. And that salvation, I believe, is both spiritual and physical. So you've got angels helping with that. And isn't it amazing how the Babylon, how the satanic world system has ensnared our children with innocent games, seemingly innocent games, videos and cards and Pokemon and Harry Potter, which was such a cute little boy. And, you know, they even have Sunday school lessons now based on the Harry Potter books.
I know. It's so sad. There's so many people that are naive, including Christians. They don't understand anything that promotes witchcraft is a door opener.
Yep. You know, Mr. Cox, you mentioned earlier our caller did about, or maybe it was you, but hearing the voices and the voices telling them, oh, I'm the Holy Spirit and I'm telling you to cut yourself. That's where that reading of the word is so important. Because when, you know, as a people, when we read his word, well, that word is Jesus Christ, and it lets us know his will. It lets us learn the character of God. It lets us know that God loves us. He loves us so much that while we were yet sinners, he sent his only begotten Son to die a wretched death for us. And you know, we teach our children that understand the character of God. He loves us. He wants what's good. Jesus Christ said, I came to bring life and life abundant. And so if you are hearing a voice and it is presenting life and life abundant to the glory of the Father, well, that's how you can test the spirits. That's a spirit of God.
Yes.
If it is,
The more you read the Word, the more you understand who you are in Jesus.
Absolutely.
I've actually had demons, when I write down those top 10 lies, you know, when I have a demon up, the head demon manifesting where I can interrogate it as a prisoner of war. And after I get the top 10 lies written down, I'll often say to the demon, now, is this person buying into your lies? And it's interesting how the answers vary. Sometimes the demons will say, oh, this person is a pushover. We're doing such a good mission. Other times, though, the demons say, we're having a hard time with this person. This person is standing on the word too much. So if we know who we are, Jesus, and we're not going to buy those lies.
Amen. Amen.
So that's exactly what you're saying.
That's right. We get that from reading the word. From reading the word.
Yes.
And certainly praying for understanding, but putting the time in his word.
Yes. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing of the word of God.
Amen.
And we can live our lives accordingly by the word. We give a handout to people after deliverance. It's called I Am. And it's also on our website and in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. But it's called I Am, and you can get it under Ministry Tools on our website through deliveranceusa.com, and go to Ministry Tools, and you'll find that in there. So. That's something that I am is something that to read often and feed your spirit man accordingly.
Well, amen. Well, thank you for being on with us tonight. I pray that you've been blessed, the people that have heard this program, and I ask that you go to deliveranceusa.com, read and study the material there. If you've got any questions, I'm sure Mr. Cox is does not object to receiving emails with questions in them. And ask that you join us again next week for worship, and then for prayer for the sick, and then for Hope is Alive. Thank you, Richard.
God bless you all.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take out.